All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of Sermon Postscript, where we kind of discuss and review the sermon of last Sunday. So this past Sunday, Jay wrapped up our series in Colossians through chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. I believe the sermon was entitled Homeward Bound, right, Jay?
Yeah, that's right.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah, so I guess even before discussing this sermon, I guess with the book of Colossians and just your sense of the book, like, what were your biggest takeaways as you preached through Colossians in the 3 weeks that we had?
You know, I think the biggest takeaway for me was the type of life that we are empowered to live because of the resurrection and the new life that we have in Christ. And I think especially for me, just thinking about, like, how do we encourage fellow believers to live their lives in Christ, and what does that actually look like? You know, like trying to strip away all the Christianese and all the things that, all the churchy talk that we're so used to. So that was kind of like the main takeaway that I had.
Yeah. No, I felt the same as you preached through that. And I think Colossians 3 kind of speaks to that at the end, where I think Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 3, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above and not on things that are on earth, which I think kind of encapsulates all of Colossians. And I guess for you, like, yeah, just given that we just preached, or you preached through this chapter, like, why is it important for us to seek and set our minds on where Christ is?
You know, so, you know, before, when I would preach through this passage, or when I would do like retreats and the theme was, you know, Colossians, you know, set your minds on things above.
Yeah, yeah.
It was always kind of seen through the lens of our Christian education. So whether it was like me being a seminary student, or like a recent seminary grad, or just, you know, thinking about what does ministry look like? It was always kind of like, well, how do we set our minds on the things above and things of Christ? Mm-hmm. And it was always like, read your Bible more. And you know, I think from that perspective, it was always kind of like, you know, read your Bible more, get more Christian books.
Yeah.
But I realized that's part of it, but that's not like the full way for us to do so. Mm. And so figuring out, what does that actually mean? What does that actually look like? And
yeah,
the talk that I joined last week was actually very helpful. You know, just this, the idea of seeking, seeking and searching for our home. You know, the idea that, you know, I think C.S. Lewis, I'm going to butcher the quote, like, if we find ourselves longing for something not of this world, that means we're created for another world.
Yeah, yeah.
And so just thinking about what Paul was mentioning in Colossians, how really chapter 3 and chapter 4, he kind of lays out, what does it mean for us to live as people who are raised in Christ? You know, this new humanity in Christ.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking about trying to decipher that and really kind of lay out what that looks like for us.
Yeah. And I like that, you know, that Paul, when he talks about setting your mind on Christ, it's deeper than just, I think theology and Bible reading and information is needed, but that's such an easy cop-out. And I think what you said is true, that Paul's imploring something a little bit deeper. And I think what you pushed on with Jamie's idea in his book is the idea of going home, and that we can find home in Christ. And I know you mentioned this idea of being restless and filled with angst while we search for our home here. And you talked about like getting off different accents, which we'll get into. But yeah, I guess now that we're talking more candidly, like what's some deeper thought into that? Like how, especially True North, people are restless or filled with angst during these times.
Yeah, I think it's not even just during the pandemic, but even before the pandemic, there were a lot of people that I would talk to who were very churched, who grew up, you know, all their lives going to VBS, Sunday school, youth group. And there came a point of time where, usually kind of like in college and post-college, where they feel like, what are we doing? You know, like, is everything, like, are we just caught in the matrix? You know, it, kind of that idea, right?
Yeah, it's like the retreat hangover, meta, yeah, like a meta-wise, in,
yeah,
in a sense.
So, and so, like, the question that always came to me as a pastor from people who are feeling this angst and frustration was, like, are we on the right path, you know? And there would be like the ultra conservative answer from me would be like, hey, just stay the course, brother, you know, and like, you know, don't get like hindered by the things of this world. But
yeah,
I realized even the most faithful of Christians, you know, Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 was very clear. He says, hey, the thing that I wish I wouldn't do, I do. You know, and the things that I hate, I love. You know, yeah. And I realize that even for Apostle Paul, the difficulty and frustration and angst of living in the already but not yet, you know, that the kingdom of Christ is here but not fully. You know, yeah. It's that frustration is normal. And part of this journey that we are on as disciples of Christ in this life.
Yeah, I think the already not yet paradigm that you mentioned is really good, because kind of like what you already were talking about, I think people tend to swing too heavy on each side, mm-hmm. that they enjoy this world too much, or they ignore this world and just set their eyes on, like, quote unquote heaven.
Yeah.
And like, you know, everything of this world is evil, so let's just do that. Where it's a much deeper journey than that, mm-hmm. which I think Jamie even mentioned in his book. And, you know, just to kind of discuss that too, like, you talked about how there's so often detours, like, you can get off of, and where you think you're home, but you're not, right? Mm-hmm. And what are, you know, you talked about a little bit about some of those detours, but, you know, to get a little bit deeper on this platform, like, what are some ways you see our church getting off at detours these days?
Yeah, you know, I think the different exits and the different detours that we go on kind of changes with phases of life. Mm. You know, so like, I think in high school, you think as long as I can get into the college of my dreams, then everything will be okay. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And then in college, it's like, oh, as long as I can get a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or as long as I can get into this major, or as long as I can, you know, participate in like these extracurriculars to help, you know, these internships. You think it, you know, so we always have this idea that this next stage of life is where our eternal home is going to be, like, you know, kind of a spiritual eternal home, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So with single life, it's, oh, once I start my career here, or once I get into the grad program of my choice, once I figure out what I want to do, once I get hired here, and then it's just once I get married, once I find that person and get married, you know. Mm-hmm. And every step of the way, we realize all these things that we thought were the right exits and the right places for us to seek and set our minds on, it ends up being very trivial and not the answer that we're looking for.
No, I think like so many people put so much hope in like the future, right? And it, I think, disregards the present, and oftentimes the journey that we're on is where we can be the biggest blessing. Like when we kind of ignore the journey that we're on, we're not able to see the things that God has given us in the present to be enjoyed, but to also like be present. Because, you know, when you're always like that, when you're always thinking about, man, what college, what job, marriage, what kids, whatever, like it's so easy to ignore the people around you. Like, yeah. You know, I went to UC Riverside, right? Shout out to the greatest UC of all time. But
Highlanders.
But, you know, not to like bag on other schools, but like UCLA, for example, like those people were super driven, right? Or USC. And oftentimes, you know, UC Riverside, probably the folly was we care too much about the present. But my friends at UCLA or USC, oftentimes they would ignore just the friendships and the people available at college, because they're always like, man, I got to get this internship and job. And we have to be responsible. But I just think that the present time is a gift that God gives you, and the journey that you're on to get to home is actually a way to bless people, which I think a lot of people forget these days.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and for those that don't know, you know, Pastor Eugene wrote a great article on that very topic on the Gospel Coalition. And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head with that. You know, oftentimes, especially in this Silicon Valley, and I think the context of our church,
yeah,
we have so many young single people who are so future driven.
Yeah.
You know, and think about it, the people that, especially in the Silicon Valley, the one man that we really kind of look up to as kind of like the our mouthpiece of innovation and like nobility is Elon Musk, who is probably the greatest futurist of our time, right?
And
you know, he's always thinking about like now, you know, a life on Mars and hyperloops and all that kind of stuff. And we kind of follow after that type of lifestyle, you know, because we're being discipled by that type of thought. And even for myself, when we first started you know, church planning and getting a and having our launch team prepared. You know, like it took us almost 2 years for us to officially launch. And during that time, people who are ahead of me in the church plant game would always tell me, hey, enjoy your time now because it's sweet, you know?
Yeah.
But then the whole thing, I'd be like, yeah, it's easy for you to say because you guys already established.
But when you're in it, yeah, you're like, no, like I got to think about it.
Yeah,
no, totally.
But when I look back, I'm like, oh man, they were so right, you know? So that now the advice I give to church planters are, hey, like enjoy this ride, you know, live in the moment. No. And
you know, the end of Office when Annie Bernard was like, what did he? I wish there was a way to know.
He says like the good old times
when before, you're actually in it, but that's so true. Like,
so true.
It's so often Christians who I think should be the ones that do that forget that. So shout out to The Office.
Yeah, but, Andy Bernard. Yeah. Bernard dog.
You touched on this too, but you know, I think we should talk about it just because of the buzz. But I think one for sure huge detour or stop that people thought was home recently this past week was stock market, GameStop, Wall Street bets, and everything going on. And yeah, I feel like you talked about how that exposes our idol of greed. So how often our detours, not only are they not home, but they lead us into idolatry, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess like, you know, given that's on everyone's minds, maybe we could talk a little bit more on that, just your thoughts about how something like GameStop and Reddit has delivered idolatry to us.
Yeah, and here's the thing about idolatry. Is that idolatry is dangerous because it always masquerades itself as something noble, as something honorable.
Yeah.
So even when we think about, I mean, part of what really captivated my heart and mind about all this was the idea of exposing the man, you know, like taking down these greedy Wall Street hedge funds and taking down this rigged system and being a part of the revolution, you know, and so there was kind of like this feeling of no, like an honorable way of going about, you know, this. But again, it's just these vices that Paul teaches against and tells us to put to death, greed being one of them, right? Is because there's always someone that gets hurt because of these vices.
Sure.
You know, and like I said, this is a zero sum game. Just because the hedge funds lose doesn't mean that, you know, all the good guys win.
You know
somebody's getting hurt. you know and it could be the hedge funds, but majority of the people that are mostly getting hurt are the ones that trusted their money and their pensions to these hedge funds.
I think it speaks to how like people are so desperate to like make life simple, like the good guys and bad guy. Like life isn't binary. It's the symptom of a broken world. It's not just black and white. And I think that's also a symptom of like thinking that home is here, because you simplify decisions like that, right? If home is earth and this is what you got, then you're going to make it as simple as possible. But when we realize that home is eternity and in Christ, like it colors and helps us see the reality of sin, of idols, and the reality of just like, look, like those people that are on Wall Street bets, they're making a lot of money. They're the elite now too, right? It's just this cycle that never ends. So I totally agree with that.
And you know, what Paul is really doing is he's trying to expose the sin of exceptionalism. Mm. You know, like meaning we always think that we are the exception to the rule. That like, hey, why should these greedy hedge funds have all the money? If we have money, then we'll be more honorable with it. We'll be better with it. But the reality is, no, we're not. We'll just turn into them. You know, the game might change. The rules of the game might change, but the enemies will still be the enemies. There'll still be a bad guy. You know.
Yeah. Totally. No, I totally agree. And I think maybe to wrap everything up too. You talked about this idea of although we're called to be in home in eternity with Christ, that we're also called to make a temporary home with our communities here, right? Especially True North and the church. Maybe we can talk more about the practical application of trying to create a home away from our eternal home. Like, what does that look like for us, especially now in this year?
Yeah. You know, whenever I look at the church, I always think of it not as an organization, but as a family, as a community. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons why we are pushing each other to live in this new humanity is so that we can encourage one another with glimpses of heaven here on earth. You know, so even the author of Hebrews describes our Sunday worships as us being teleported into the presence of God, right? For like for that moment when we are in deep worship of Christ, it's as if we are in heaven worshiping. And I think living in community is also a glimpse of that, that when we put to death the things of this earth and put on love, what we are creating is that place of comfort and peace and joy that only heaven can provide. So by living that way, we are creating a home, a temporary home away from home, not only for our benefit, but also for outsiders to see and long for.
Yeah, I know a pastor that I follow a lot, Jonathan Lehman, puts it well, where it's we're ambassadors and we're the church is an embassy for God's kingdom here, and that we are showing and previewing and trying to, that should be how we draw people into Christ.
Yeah.
Like not just words and arguments, but by showing them what the kingdom looks like within our communities, which oftentimes it's not the case, right?
Yeah.
And I think especially this year, like one example that always sticks out to me is in during the plague in Europe, the bubonic plague, everyone was leaving the cities because the plague was everywhere, right?
Yeah.
And the only people that stayed were the Christians and the churches, because they said, look, my home is in eternity with Christ. And that doesn't make me think like, well, I'm just going to leave because I can do whatever I want. It's like, no, because I have a secure home, I'm going to make sure I stay during the darkest times in this earth to show them that home, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's so relevant today, like for 2021, that, you know, we talked about this a lot, but True North is very bubbled from the pandemic. I think, I mean, the stock market is a good example that the rich get richer even during dark times, right? And if we're honest, a lot of us are in that category, whether we think it or not. Mm-hmm. And I really think as Christians during this year, it's like, well, how can we create this kingdom home in the Bay Area, like not just with True North, but within our communities, within our workplaces? And that's a hard question even for me and you, because how do you do that virtually when you can't work in a workplace when you're working from home? So, you know, that's not that we have the answers, but just something that all of us, I think, as a church should kind of ponder about together.
Exactly. You know, and I think that's part of setting our minds on it, you know, is thinking about it and figuring out, well, how what does that look like practically in our time and in our culture?
Yeah. No, I think that's a really good exhortation to end the series. So, yeah, we hope you were blessed through Colossians. I know we're going to start our sermon series on relationships, romance, and dating next. So we hope you're blessed by that. But, yeah, thanks for listening. And, yeah, we hope to see you next week.
All right, have a good week, everyone.